I really believe that God wants to bring us a word of encouragement this morning, which is really precious from His side, because Christ is a Christ who encourages, and what I'm talking about this morning is not motivational speaking. I'm not talking about any motivational speaking, because motivational speakers can only make you feel happy for so many hours. I'm not talking about motivational speaking. I'm not talking about going to the mountain and having a jog there, or being on your bike and just driving with your bike, or if you're like me, you know, reading, or just continue with your DJing equipment. That brings happiness, you know, and happiness is always short-lived. Happiness is always short-lived. Joy is something that comes from the depths of our spirits. Joy is something that needs to be imparted, and I want to encourage us as believers this morning, because the only great encouragement can only come from Christ and the church, and we'll see that this morning. But I want to bring this word to you because I really want to encourage you for wherever you are and where you're at. And let's read from Romans chapter 15, verse 4 to 6. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and in the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The definition of encouragement is giving someone the confidence and the courage to do something. And so courage goes against apathy. It goes against cowardice, and it goes against idleness. Courage is that one thing that allows you to move despite of your circumstance, and it commands a certain respect that comes with it. It's like when Jesus appeared before Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus told Joshua, be courageous. Don't be scared. I will put inside of you the ability to continue with confidence, to continue to run this race with patience, and you will complete the task that I have been given, that I've given to you. And it's from that place that I'm speaking this morning. And I want us to see that there's no apathy. There's no cowardice. There's no idleness. It's the pursuit of God that brings encouragement within the depths of our spirit, in the depths of our emotions, in the depths of our heart. And I want to quote Jesus here. Jesus said that, I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. That was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth said, look here, there's going to be some really tough times for you guys, but I want to tell you, I've overcome the world. So, if we seek encouragement from the world, I can tell you we're going to lose. Because Christ is the one that overcame the world. So we need to seek our encouragement from Him. The world can give us nothing that will encourage us. Absolutely zero. There's nothing from this world that can make us truly happy. Because unlike Christ, the world will pass. It will wither away like grass, as the psalmist say. And so this morning I want us to look at I've got seven things here that brings us encouragement, and I want to look at those seven things. And so the first two, as we read in the scripture in Romans, is God and scripture. God and scripture is our primary sources of encouragement. You see, God will always encourage us to stand. Do you know what standing means? Standing means endurance. God will give you the ability to endure, to stand, to resist, to desist. Despite all your enemies, Christ will give you that ability. The second thing that Christ will do, he will, and scripture, it will give you the ability to move forward. Now that's perseverance. Standing is endurance. Moving forward is perseverance. Where you continue to move forward despite of that which the enemy wants to do or how the enemy wants to come to. But it comes from God and it comes from scripture. And I want to flight a question to you this morning. Do you believe that God can impart joy into your heart with just scripture in his presence? Let's strip away your family. Let's strip away my children. Let's strip away my salary. Let's strip away my wife. Strip away everything. Standing naked. Do you really believe that only the scriptures and God's presence can bring you joy? Take away everything. Standing naked before Christ, you have nothing, nobody, zilch, zero. You only have a Bible in your hand and you can stand there. It was so beautiful. Everybody that prayed this morning here said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So many people prayed it, so many songs said it this morning. But that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. If you really want encouragement, you can only get it from Scripture and from God's presence. Everybody and everything else will derive its encouragement from there. God and the Scriptures. It is one of the challenging books to read in Scripture, the book of Job. Because Job was stripped of everything. And the only thing that Job could cling on to was God's word and God's presence. Now that's a challenging question to answer within the 21st century. It's a very, 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 very challenging question to answer. Because if you dig deep enough with the question, you've got to ask yourself, where does true happiness lie? And where does true disappointment come from? And I know for a lot of people, this is not a reality. And I know for some of us, we've never been at that place where we're so low, and then Christ walks into the room. And so all the testimonies, and as I was sitting here, I was just thinking, a lot of people were waiting for the wow. Where's the wow? Where's the legs that grew back? And where's the backs that got healed? And where's raising the dead? Where, and all four of them, and we didn't plan it, all four of them, they just told about how they met Christ. Now, I know for a lot of people, that's not a reality. I know for a lot of people in church, it's not a reality. The fact that Christ can walk into your life. Or you can read scripture. You know, sometimes I read Psalms till I'm happy. Sometimes I wake up and I'm just in a bad mood, man. I don't want to see nobody. I just want to be left alone. I don't know if you wake up like that, but sometimes I wake up like that. Then I take my Bible and I tiptoe out of the home. Then I go sit down and then I read Psalms until I'm happy. I read Psalms until I'm just sensing God there. Now, I know for a lot of people, that's not reality. Because for some people to be happy, they must first have coffee. Coffee's not a sin, eh? I love coffee. Some people only smile after they've taken their pain medication because it boosts their immune system. Some people must wait for a compliment to be happy. Somebody must tell you, you look beautiful. Only then you can be happy. Some people are only happy until their salaries are no more. Then they have to wait for the first 5 days of the end of the month. You know, when you get the SMS, hey, I have money, then you're happy again. But by the 10th, you know, all that money belongs to somebody else. Toot, toot, SMS. Oh, it's game. Toot, toot, SMS. Lewis. Toot, toot, SMS. You know, all your money's going somewhere. And there goes all your happiness. The road is long. With many, you know, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And we sad. And I know we're laughing, but there's a lot of us living like that, and we can't transcend to that place of true joy. Where we wake up and we say, thank you, God, for being here for me. And it's that same thing that my wife was alluding to this morning. There's a deep joy within our hearts, and everybody can see it. The midst of pain and our suffering. Our primary source of joy must be God and the scriptures. Unfortunately, we don't have a reference for that anymore. And so that's our primary source. Let's look at the third source. The third source of encouragement comes from the laying on of hands. Can I just go back? Sorry, I skipped. Encouragement, yes. Just to tell you, Scripture will either exhort you or Scripture will strengthen you. God will either exhort you or strengthen you. I just need to explain this. Strengthen means that you get that word in season, like Hein said. I receive the word in season and I can go on again. The road's not so long anymore. But exhortation is unpraat. Vaks oor die boude. Jy stout. Exhortation. Now, a lot of believers have a problem with that. They don't understand that when you are rebuked, then it's to help, it's to encourage you. Rebuke is also a form of encouragement. You with me? And so God will either exhort you or he will strengthen you, but both through the word of encouragement. Are you with me? So let's look at our third source. Laying on of hands. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. This happens through impartation. In other words, sometimes people are down. They don't feel, you know, too blessed. And they're going through difficult times. And then sometimes we as brothers, we need to lay our hands on them and then we need to pray for them. And then we must impart joy. The impartation of joy. The impartation of life and life in abundance. Because then you get your strength. That is like the Apostle Paul says here. There's an impartation of life. And it's something that has lost its power within the church. We don't do it anymore. And it's something that we must do more. Especially if we don't have answers for people, we can bring them closer, we can lay our hands on them, and we can pray for them. It's an impartation of joy. It's encouraging when people lay their hands on you and they pray for you. And the Apostle Paul, if you can go back to that previous scripture, Lola, please. Paul says, I'm reminding you of the day that I laid hands on you. I remind you the things that I prayed over you and the things that I believed for you and in you and through you. And so that's a powerful thing when we do lay hands on people and we do pray for them. But that's our other source of encouragement. So the first source is God. The second source is Scripture. The third source is laying on of hands. Let's look at the fourth source, acts of kindness. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. It's people that have the ability to receive you and connect you to Christ through the gift of kindness. You know, I'm talking about the antisilis now. The antisilis. They're there with a lekkermjaltert. Acts of kindness, they're always there for you. But through that, they impart great encouragement. You know, I'm just using it as an example. And I praise God for the saints in this church that has that ability to just do acts of kindness. She does it by helping you, but then there's people like Alvin. Alvin always has a gift. So even he must bring a Bible, then there's always 2 packets of chocolate for our children. He doesn't talk about it, but it's there. But it's those acts of kindness that encourages you. Then you give the people like Estu. They always pray for you and they always have a word for you. You receive a WhatsApp and there's a word. God says this. And it's so encouraging. Acts of kindness. And it's something that we must bring back to the church, because there's more acts of criticism, acts of gossip, acts of lying. And we must bring back the acts of kindness to the church, where we support one another. It's so encouraging. The fact that Barnabas was called son of encouragement. I mean, the apostles would not have received the apostle Paul. Not as he murdered the church. But Barnabas said, look here, brothers, you're wrong, man. You must see this brother. I believe in him. I'm kind to him. It is those people who can bring you into places where you're not necessarily welcomed. They can bring you there and they can make you feel welcome again. Acts of kindness. Isn't it beautiful? Then, source number 5, meeting together in big and small groups. Now just listen to what Hebrews says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, Scripture says that when we come together like this in big groups, meeting together, it's encouraging. And Scripture says we shouldn't neglect it. When we come together in smaller groups, small groups, we encourage one another. When people testify and the worship team sings and somebody gives you a hug and you are greeted, it's all part of the same thing, encouraging one another. It can either be exhortation also. You can also be rebuked here. And it will challenge you. And so Scripture says we shouldn't neglect this. We should not neglect coming together on a Sunday. We should not neglect coming together on a Wednesday. We should not neglect praying together, be together. It's precious. And I love what Scripture is saying. As you see the days approaching, what day? That day that God will be coming. I so pray God will come fetch me with a mic in my hand. It's a joke. I so pray that God will come and take my whole small group as we're having small group. He takes us. Oh, wouldn't it be glorious if he come fetch us while we're having church? Those who stay behind, we sick have to wave them, Tata. We're going now, because it's a reality. Some people will stay behind. It's one of the realities that's not been preached on in Scripture. But I want to encourage you this morning. It's encouraging to be with you this morning. It's an encouragement to pray with believers. Do you know how many people right now are sitting outside of church criticizing the church? Do you know how many people are sitting outside of a small group criticizing small groups? They miss the encouragement. When brothers come together in unity, And God encourages us. Beautiful. And then, number six, watch this one. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And then Acts chapter 27, verse 22 to 24. "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me." Sometimes angels must come and encourage us, angelic intervention. The Apostle Paul, he was on a ship, it was a heavy, heavy storm. And so an angel appeared to him, and so the Apostle Paul tells all the people on the ship, "Look here, none of you are going to die, only the ship's going to be destroyed. Just relax, eat something, just eat something. The God whom I serve, an angel appeared to me." It's the same with Mary. Mary's pregnant and no man has ever touched her. Nou moet sy mos gaan verduidelik, hoekom sy nou aan die kind? Then an angel appeared to her. Don't worry, just be encouraged. It's from the Holy Spirit. An angel appears to her. Gideon, an angel appeared to Gideon. When the angel appeared to Gideon, the angel said, "Oh, you mighty man of valor." Sometimes angels... I'm looking forward to see how many angels I've met. You know, those one of those guys that you meet along the road and they tell you, "No, sir, don't drive that way, drive this way." Then you take that road and you never see them again. Maybe it was an angel, I don't know. But scripture's clear. Angelic intervention is so powerful when it comes to that place of encouragement. And I'm praying, God, again, that angels would visit us to encourage us. It's the same with Elijah running away from Jezebel. The angel touched his hip and said, "Look, you stand up, eat, have some water." And then scripture says, for 40 days he ran. Just on that water and that one cake that the angel baked on the stone, he could run for 40 days. Now that's encouragement. That's encouraging to know that you can be spurred on in that way. And then the last one, and I'll end off with this. Encouragement will come from divine sifting. Just watch this. Let's just stop here. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." All of you as wheat. In other words, Jesus tells Simon, the devil came and the devil said, "I want to sift all your disciples. All of you." It's the same as with Job. The devil comes to God and the devil says, "Can I touch Job? Can I?" God says, "Yes." Now, it's one of those same conversations that makes us feel very, very uncomfortable. The fact that the devil can have a conversation with Jesus about us. I don't know about you, it makes me feel uncomfortable. That the devil can have a conversation about me with Jesus. How does it make you feel? That's een story wat ek jy wil hoor. And he's asking you to sift you as wheat. Hy wil jou omdop, man. And so sometimes we pray, "Here die duivel, here dit," and then it's not, it's God. God said it's fine. Sift him. But watch this. "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Encourage your brothers. The things that you're going through now is to strengthen you so that you can encourage your brothers. But then you must come to the proper place to understand that. Now, isn't that encouraging? The fact that the stuff that you're going through now, if you're with the right source and with the right people, you will be able to strengthen and encourage your brothers. Because you know what? God is still, Jesus is still praying for you and for me. As the sifting is taking place, Jesus is praying for us. But there's one thing that you have to see there. after you've turned back. There's something that we must turn back from so that we can go and strengthen our brothers. And we know how Peter strengthened his brothers. I love the encouragement that I get from the church. I hate, you know, sometimes when you're on holiday, then it's either I would like to go to church or Almri, but one of us always would like to go. Can't we go to church? Because we just love being in church. It's so lekker. It's so encouraging. It's so encouraging when people can lay their hands on you and pray for you. There was a brother with us here, Jakes. He's working at Shofar HQ now. Jakes was going to move to Joburg. So he was with me in youth. So now I said, Jakes, we need to talk. I have a word from the Lord and I want to pray for you. And I said, Jakes, come here. And I prayed and I said, Jakes, you're going to go through a very tough time in Johannesburg. The enemy is going to shake you. You're going to find it very difficult to connect with people in Johannesburg, but by the grace of God, I want you to remember this and stand strong. And you know, Jakes did the courteous thing. Yes, Carlos. Thank you for the word. And so, 4 years later, I meet Jakes again. Jakes come to me. Jakes said, Carlos, I need to repent. He said, Jakes, we haven't seen each other in 4 years. Why do you want to repent? What did? He said, no. Can you remember the day when you prayed for me? I was offended at the prayer. But Carlos, everything that you prayed for became true. It was really difficult in Joburg. I really struggled to connect with people. But Carlos, do you know what kept me standing is the fact that you prayed for me. It was encouraging. During my first week when I got saved, somebody prayed over me. It was Pastor Andre. I think he was there the second Sunday or the first Sunday when I got saved. I responded on an altar call concerning lust. So I'm going now for lust, you know. God must help me. And then he comes, he lays his hands on me and he prays that one day you're going to be in ministry. And he stands back. He says, but you must pray over that. That's the first time that I knew that I was called to be in ministry. He prayed it over me. He's just confirmed what Christ said in my heart. It's encouraging. It's encouraging when somebody else testifies here, like the beautiful ladies and the two men did, and you can just relate to where they are. I can relate. It's encouraging. It's so, so encouraging. It's so encouraging when Tani Sili says she had a moment with her granddaughter on a bed. It's so encouraging just to know that there's families where people care for one another. The supernatural is really happening amongst us, but we're not seeing it because our eyes are being veiled from the encouragement that we can receive from the people around us. And so scripture is clear. Let us run this race with patience. Let us complete this race. And I want us to tell people about the encouraging stuff that they can hear in church and that they can hear from scripture. Encouragement. Where God will give us the confidence and the ability to continue. I mean, I look up to people like Pastor Fred that's been preaching now for more than 35 years, preaching every Sunday. Did you hear what Corne Becker said at the conference? He's only missed church 5 times in his life. Only 5 times he has missed church in his life. And he's a professor. Chris Ludewijk, last year, he turned 70. Chris Ludovic did preach. He's 70. He's more than 70 years old. He turned 70. By the end of September, he still had to go to 25 nations from September to December just to preach the gospel in meetings. A true Caleb, 80 years old and still wanting his portion of his inheritance. Now that's encouraging. We're at a great place at this time of eternity. We've got Christ the encourager on our side. Let's read that first scripture again, Lola. The band, you can come. Let's read that first scripture again. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance stored in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We endure, we are encouraged, and we will find hope. Everything that is written in this book. Oopsie. Thanks, David. Is written to encourage us. And then the other part I also likes. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other. Towards each other. Each other. So that with one mind, one voice, you may glorify. Encouragement and endurance is there so that we may glorify God.